Let's go to Matthew 28, and we're going to be there for just a little bit, and then we're going to take some time tonight to go to the Lord and ask His blessing on our upcoming conference here, which kicks off now in just a few days. I'm so thankful to hear that at least right now they're talking about some good weather, and looking forward to that. I guess it's going to be good throughout the conference, so that will be an added blessing. Amen. All right, Matthew 28. Look at some well-known verses. Verse number 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." I want to talk tonight about His commission, our mission. Okay? His commission, our mission. Just a couple of thoughts on this and we'll get to praying. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the good song from the young people. And I pray that you will help us, dear Lord, to live so that when we have that meeting in the air, it will be just as happy as it possibly can be. God, help us to occupy till you come, to be faithful, to serve you until we see you. Help us, Lord, if you come while we are alive, help us to be found faithful and serving until the very day that we see you. And we'll thank you for it. Bless our conference. Bless the missionaries. Bless our speaker. Bless our hearts. God, work in us, I pray, during these days. Help this lesson tonight to be an encouragement to us. In Jesus' name and amen. Well-known passage in the New Testament and even throughout the entire Bible. We call this command of Jesus the Great Commission. Now, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines commission as, and I quote now, "the act of committing or sending to, the act of entrusting as a charge or duty." So let me repeat that again. The act of committing, or sending to, the act of entrusting as a charge or duty. And this is exactly what Jesus did when he gave the disciples and the others here these marching orders. He commissioned them. He entrusted them with a charge and a duty. And He gave the disciples and the others these marching orders and commissioned them to spread the message of salvation to the world. Now, bear in mind, as I mentioned on Sunday night, and I'll mention again in a little bit, He repeated this message four different times. It's recorded in the Gospel of Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, as well as here is in Matthew 28. It is always recorded as among the last words of Jesus. It's the last words of Jesus in Matthew. It's among the last words of Jesus in Mark. It's among the last words of Jesus in Luke. It's among the last words of Jesus in the book of John. It is the last words of Jesus in Acts chapter 1 before He's taken up. In fact, after He says that in Acts chapter 1, He steps on a cloud and the cloud receives Him up into glory. So in all five cases, these are either His last words that were recorded by that writer, or they were the words that He spoke among the last words recorded by that writer. Now, it is absolutely without question then that Jesus considers this commission to be very important. Hence the repetition of it five times in our Bible. Okay? Five times. Now let me just give you a couple of thoughts tonight about this great commission, how it pertains to us as we get ready for our conference on Sunday. Number one, Jesus did not give a commission that could not be kept. He did not give a commission that could not be kept. Folks, it is not in the character of Jesus to give commands that cannot be obeyed. Okay? Now, you and I, being evil, as when I say evil, having a sin nature, you, those of us with children, we would not give our children a command that they could not obey. We would not ask one of our kids to walk over and pick up that grand piano and take it to the foyer. We wouldn't do that. Okay? We wouldn't put that kind of expectation on them because we love them too much. Now, if you and I have that much sense, and we possess an old, filthy sin nature that taints everything we are and taints everything we do, then why would we think that God would give us something that we couldn't do? It's not in the character of Christ, it's not in the character of God to give us a command that cannot be obeyed. Now, I want you to look at something here that I thought about this afternoon. I even talked to the teachers about it this morning. And what I said to the teachers this morning, I really don't believe is true about this passage the more I think about it. Look at the last phrase of verse number 20. He tells them, go, teach, baptize, and then teach those that you've baptized. So he's going to go win them to Christ, baptize them, and then teach them to obey the Lord, win others to Christ. And the last thing he says is, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, I was tempted in the past, and maybe I have said it, I have in the past made this say, and I've heard the other preachers say, that Jesus would be with the church or a church until the end of time if that church would take the gospel to the world. I've heard people say that that word world there at the end of verse number 20 is talking about the end of time, the end of this age. The world would be more referring to the time than to the planet. But, you know, the truth of the matter is there have been many missions-minded churches that have closed their doors over the years for various reasons. So if this verse is teaching us that Jesus will be with the church that's missions-minded until the end of time, then something's not right about this. So I got to thinking about this, and I want you to hear Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Listen to what Jesus said. Go ye, and what we're talking about now is world meaning end of time or world meaning the earth, the planet. Okay? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is he talking about the end of time there, or is he talking about the planet? He's talking about the planet. Okay. In Luke 24, 47, the Great Commission there, he says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I think that's pretty clear. That has nothing to do with time, does it? That has everything to do with people, doesn't it? Okay. John 20:21, the Great Commission is stated this way: as my Father hath sent me, so even so send I you. And then when you read cross reference in John chapter 17, verse number 18, here's what Jesus prayed to his Heavenly Father: as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So is he talking about the end of time there, or is he talking about people? He's talking about people. in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Is he talking about the end of time or is he talking about? He's talking about people. So folks, the other four times the Great Commission is stated, it is very clear that Jesus is not talking about an element of time. He is talking about taking the gospel message to people on this planet. So why do we want to take the verse in Matthew chapter 28 and make it mean till the end of time? It doesn't mean till the end of time. It means there that Jesus' presence will go with them as they carry the gospel to the world. That's what he said. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, that all nations might hear. As my Father sent me to the world, so I'm sending you to the world. So you can go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to the uttermost parts of the earth. He's talking about his presence will accompany them as they go spreading the gospel. Now, you know what that means? Do you know what his presence going with them meant? Well, look at verse number 18. He said here, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. His presence meant his what? His power. His presence meant his power. You know what that means about this Great Commission? When he gave it to this group of disciples, this church, if you will, the task ahead of them was not as great as the power behind them. That's what it meant. The task ahead of them was not as great as the power behind them. Yes, this was a great task for this church to take the word, take the gospel to the world was a huge task. But the task in front of them was not as great as the power behind them. He said, you take the message, and when you go taking the message, lo, I am with you, and his presence meant his power. So this is a huge task, but the task ahead of us is not near as great as the power behind us is. That's what this is teaching here. Now, let's think for a minute, how did this church fare? How did this church get along in taking the gospel to the world? Well, as far as getting the gospel to Jerusalem, they did great. Remember, the Bible says they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Remember that? But when it came to getting it to the world, they had a slow start. In fact, they got a little push from heaven by way of persecution in chapter 8. The Bible tells us that they, because of the persecution, they scattered abroad and they took the gospel. So the persecution was used by God to give them the hint. Get out of Jerusalem and obey the command to take the gospel to the world. Now, how did they fare after they left Jerusalem and went to the world with the gospel? Well, Acts chapter 17, verse number 6, in the city of Thessalonica, the Bible says, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. So it sounds like they did a pretty good job of getting the gospel to the world. And the reason they could get the gospel to the world was because they had the power of Christ with them. Because he said, everywhere you go, I'll go with you. Wherever you go, my presence will be with you to the end of the world. As far as you go, as far away from Jerusalem as you go, I will be with you. And when I go with you, my power goes along with you. And that's exactly what happened. You had people getting saved, traveling to this city, folks getting saved, and they heard the gospel message, and they might travel over here. Somebody else hears the gospel message. These two go over here. This person hears the gospel message and goes over here. And they began to scatter and scatter and scatter, and one gets saved and another gets saved, and they start telling somebody else. And pretty soon, the world heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, the power of Christ still goes with missionaries taking the gospel to the world today. This promise is as good today as it was back then. So this is still going on. Now, I was talking to Ben on Sunday. In fact, I didn't talk to Ben. He talked to us. He talked nonstop for about 40 minutes to us. But he was excited, and we were glad to hear it. We were trying to eat our dinner, and he just talked about it. Luke was there with us, and so we were hoping to talk to Luke. But anyway, when you get around Ben, you don't talk much, okay? So he was talking. And how'd it go, son? Did you have a good Bible study today? He said, yeah, we did. They had a great day. Had about 25 there, and we had probably 10 or 12. I think they're calling for. Who are they calling for, Brother Joe? Kelly? Okay, very good. So they had 10 or 12 adults in their Bible study on Sunday, and he said just several good things happened. He said this more affluent man showed up. Now over in Madagascar, the class system is still very much intact. In a lot of those places, the class system is intact. You know that in India, other places like that, a lot of these third world countries, the class system is very, very important. And if you're in a lower class, you don't speak to somebody in a higher class. And if you're in a higher class, you don't speak to somebody in a lower class. It's just the way it is. So he had this Malagasy man of a higher class come in, and Rochelle. Now, I don't know if you remember pictures of Rochelle or not. Rochelle was the man who was the guard at the first house that Ben and Ashley lived in. And as a guard, he is one of the lower class of society over in Madagascar. If you could see the house he lived in, it's not as big as it's as big as our conference room back there. That's the size of his house. And he had two teeth. You know, got no teeth. Great guy. And he got saved some months ago. After several months, it took a long time. He wouldn't even come to the Bible study at the beginning. But then he started coming to the Bible study. And then he kept coming, and then he got coming, and then he got saved, and then he wanted to get baptized. So this real affluent man, Malagasy man, comes in, and Rochelle goes right up to him with his two teeth, sticks his hand out and says, in Malagasy, "We are so glad that you came to our Bible study today. I hope you enjoy yourself. I know you'll get a blessing from the lesson." And just went on and on and welcomed him to the Bible study. And that guy's just, you know, because they're just not used to that. Okay? So they have the Bible study, and the guy hangs around. I'm getting this right. The guy hangs around after church a little bit. And so Ben is talking with him, and Rochelle is standing there. And Ben asks the man, "Do you know for sure if you're 100% sure that you go to heaven when you die? Are you saved?" And the man started giving this long answer about, you know, he's lived a good life and baptism and all this stuff. And Rochelle speaks up and says, "That's not what my pastor asked you. My pastor asked you if you've been born into God's family by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, if you're saved and on your way." Conscious man. And that guy, but this guy is fired up, and that's how it always works. God takes the most unsuspecting people and does a great work in their hearts. And Rochelle's fired up about being saved. And I don't know if it was that guy that got saved or another guy that stayed. Might have been there was another guy. There was it had a couple three visitors. But anyway, this one guy stayed for a couple hours and talked with Ben, and when the 2 hours was over, he got on his knees and trusted Christ as his Savior this past Sunday. He was all excited about all that, and all excited about Rochelle, and just, you know, I, of course, that blesses my heart, you know that. But I'm just simply saying, you know, the power of Christ, the presence of Christ still goes with these missionaries when they take the gospel. This wasn't a one-and-done thing. This is a promise that's as good today for you and me and our church as it was for this group of believers in this church back in this day and age. And when you take the gospel somewhere, the presence of Christ goes with you. And when the presence of Christ goes with you, the power of Christ goes with you. But he said, all power is given unto me. By the way, that works for you and I here in this area if we just claim it. Ask God to empower us. So this still works. Now, folks, listen. Here's what I'm saying about this. We, Faith Baptist Church, needs to take the Great Commission personally. We need to feel like this commission was given to us, because it was. It was divinely preserved in this Bible that is the Word of God. And God has left this command for Faith Baptist Church. So we need to take this personally. God, Jesus, given us the command to take the message of Christ to the... You say, what should be the purpose of Faith Baptist Church? What should be your ultimate mission? To reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we can't do that. Why not? Why not? Why can't we do that? Nobody answers me. Because we can't, right? No, we can. You understand now that all the messages from this pulpit are downloaded on the internet, and that folks all over the world can listen to preaching from Faith Baptist Church pulpit now because of the internet? Do you understand that we have been supporting Filipino missionaries for how many years now? And now those Filipino churches, many of them over there, are sending missionaries to places in this world that are closed to American missionaries. So our financial support of those works and in supporting missionaries to take the presence of Christ and the power of Christ Christ to the Filipino islands has resulted in those Filipinos getting saved who are now taking the gospel message, the power of Christ and the presence of Christ to nations that you and I couldn't get into. And there's more missionaries going from the Philippines now, almost as many as going from America around the world. That's what's going on. You understand that many churches, missionaries we've supported, have gone and started churches, and those churches have been sustained by missionaries that we support, and they are now starting churches in their countries. Folks, this is how it works. This is why it is important for us every year to look at these families and other families that come through and understand that this is not a bother. This is not a burden. This is the answer to how Faith Baptist Church touches the world. Because this is our commission. That was quite a task He gave those disciples. He didn't give it to just those disciples. He gives this commission to you and me. This is our commission. And you say, well, what's First Baptist Church and Grace Baptist Church and Calvary Baptist? What's Victory Baptist Church? What are they going to do? I don't know what they're going to do. I don't pastor there. You don't attend there. But I pastor here and I attend here. And we all attend here. And we know what Faith Baptist Church mission is. Our mission is the Great Commission. We are supposed to touch the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, it can't be done. No, you're wrong. It can be done. And it is being done. And if we took the sum total of the churches started by the missionaries on that wall back there that we have supported, and none of the churches they have started, but the churches that have been started out of the churches they have started, just like Robert Mickey in his letter. How many churches has Robert Mickey started in Kenya? And Kevin Wynn in Mexico? And Rick Martin in the Philippines? And now those churches are beginning to send missionaries to other countries. This is how it happens. This is why we need to look at these opportunities, Serbia and all these places where it was Spain. And I mean, boy, the opportunity to send missionaries. So we want to make sure we understand Jesus did not give a commission that could not be kept. People, the task ahead of us is never as great as the power behind us. The power behind us is the power of Christ. We got to believe that, understand that, not because it makes you feel good, because the Bible tells us so. All right? So the task ahead of us is great, but the power behind us is greater. So number two, I want to say this tonight. If we do not make it our mission, the commission will become our omission. If we don't make it our mission, the commission will become our omission. Okay, here's a dad. He's got to go away on a business trip for a week. So he's going to be gone Monday. He's got to leave early Monday morning because he'll get back late Thursday night. So on Sunday afternoon, he pulls his couple older boys in. Says, fellas, you got to go out of town this week and be traveling. We'll be back till late Thursday night. So I'm going to be gone. But here's what I need you to do. That shed out back, I need that shed cleaned out. I want you to empty it out. It's filthy. Get the cobwebs out. It's going to be decent weather. Going to have some daylight after school. Get the cobwebs out. Get everything taken out of the shed. Sweep it up real good. I want you to clean everything up. Get all the dust and dirt off. I want you to put everything back in there. Organize it and get that thing looking real good. I want you to get it done before summer comes. That's what I want you to do. They said, okay, Dad. So he takes off on Monday. He comes back in late Thursday night. He hits the sack. Too late to see the kids. They're all in bed. Kids get up on Friday morning. Dad gets up on Friday morning. He says, well, fellas, good to see you. Hey, Dad, how you doing? He said, hey, guys, how did it go? And they said, well, Dad, the grass is mowed. Boy, the cars are washed. The garage is swept. And that flower bed is free of weeds. What's Dad going to say? Okay. How about the shed? Oh, man, we didn't get to that. Look, there's nothing wrong with all of those things. Nothing wrong with mowing the grass. Nothing wrong with washing the cars and sweeping the garage and weeding the flower bed. In fact, all those are tasks that probably needed accomplishing. But the only problem is the one task was completely omitted from all the work the boys did. Now, if we're not careful, there's a lot of things that a local New Testament church can get involved in that are good things. But if we omit the one task that Jesus left us with, I don't think we'll want to face Him and say, we had a good music program, boy, we had a good school. We had a good this, we had a good that, we sure had nice buildings, we even decorated nice for missions conference. Well, how did you do in getting the gospel to the world? Oh, Lord, we kind of lost sight of that. don't think we want that, do we? So if we don't keep the mission in front of us, if we do not make this Great Commission our mission, the Great Commission will become our omission. Good tasks were accomplished by these boys while the great task was omitted. And you know what? Faith Baptist Church can be involved in a lot of good things, but if we don't get the gospel to the world, we're going to miss the great things. Well, amen, Brother Terry. That's good. That's good. And I don't know why it's so quiet here tonight. I don't know if it's getting warm. Y'all are going to sleep. If it's it bothers you about missions and you know it's money, I don't know what it is. Y'all out there tonight? I know. Give me that. I don't. What am I going to do? I believe it with all my heart. I'm excited as I can be about it. Excited as I can be. I don't know if you're tired or what. But that's the truth, man. If we do not make it our mission, the commission will become our omission. We'll stand before God someday and say, boy, we did a lot of good things. And Jesus says, what about the great thing? What about the great thing? Now, Jesus hasn't given a task that we can't fulfill. We can fulfill it. His power is behind us, a great task ahead of us. But His power behind us, we can get the gospel to the world. You know what? We may not get it to every end of the earth before Jesus comes, but I'd sure like to be trying when He comes. And we take on somebody to Serbia. We take on somebody else to Spain. We take on somebody else to Thailand or Ukraine. We get a lot closer. We get that much closer to getting the gospel to the world. That much closer. So let's pray. Let's pray for God to work in our hearts during these days. Let's pray for God to make it real to us. This is a few days of our calendar year, 1, 2, 3, 4, when we can think on these things for just a little bit and ask God to work on our hearts. This is all about the Great Commission, getting the gospel to the world. His presence will go with us as we accomplish this. His power will be with us, and we certainly don't want to make the Great Commission our omission.